Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kick-Ass Canadians. I'm talking today with squash legend Jonathan Power, whose career highlights include 36 Professional Squash Association titles, winning the 98 British Open, the 2003 and 2005 Super Series Finals, and the men's singles gold medal at the 2002 Commonwealth Games. After retiring in 2006 with the world number one ranking, Jonathan has gone on to direct the Power Squash Academy and the National Squash Academy, both in Toronto. He's also made a significant contribution to outreach, mentorship, and philanthropy, and that's what I want to talk to him about today. So welcome, Jonathan. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem at all, Amanda.
What I really want to talk about is Maria Tour Pakai. You've been coaching her since 2011, and she was recently profiled on HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel because her story is just so incredible. I'm wondering if you can tell us a bit about her background and what you've accomplished with her in the last year or so.
Well, Maria's got a very interesting background. I mean, I opened this center in Toronto for high performance and getting more kids from all different backgrounds into squash. And I got this letter from this girl from South Waziristan saying that it was very difficult for girls to do anything and let alone play sports. So I spent my life, you know, traveling in that part of the world, not specifically South Waziristan, but I've been to Pakistan many times, and I kind of knew without it was an interesting story, and she was sort of fighting against all odds, and I thought I could help her out. You know, I built this center kind of like a Field of Dreams type place, and in her email it was like she dreamed of becoming the best player in the world and the best player she could be, and I wanted to help her out. So I worked hard to get her here, and then since she's been here, I've been supporting her both on and off the court, and she's an incredible girl.
Yeah, she's only 22, is that right?
Yeah, she just turned 22, and but she's really in her infancy in squash development. She had to stop playing squash from the age of 16 to 20 because of being threatened by certain militant groups in Pakistan about playing sports as a woman.
Yeah.
And wearing shorts and all of that kind of stuff. So she had to go through a lot of adversity, and now she's here and she's able to focus full-heartedly on her squash.
So she's ranked 41st in the world right now, is that right?
Yeah, she's gone from a 200 to 41st in her first year of playing, so she's going in the right direction.
Can you tell me what's next for her as far as squash and what you've got planned?
Yeah, she's going to be, competing and just learning how to deal with life on tour and trying to, you know, see all the other top girls in the world and watch a lot of squash, play a lot of squash, get experience this year, and not worry so much about the wins and losses, but really start to understand the landscape and learn how to navigate that. And it's not easy being a young girl traveling the world by herself, you know, going from different city, different courts, and, you know, fighting with these other girls who want it just as badly week after week.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's got to learn to deal with all those emotions and all the little things that come around with being a professional individual athlete.
I read that she wants to open up a center for women to play squash in Pakistan, ultimately.
Yeah, she wants to create a center for not just women, but equal opportunity center for, you know, people in her country to be able to, you know, play sport and be educated freely and learn skills and try to help sort of peace and development in that part of the world. And that's her main mission in life, and to create an opportunity for people where she comes from. And she's dedicating her whole career to that. So all her winnings and all her things will go into building, you know, this center, this infrastructure, and try to help more people and just kind of pass that culture along back home and try to change things sort of bit by bit.
How has your experience with all of this and with Maria changed your outlook on what sports can do for people, for community, for empowering youth and women?
Yeah, I don't know if it's, I mean, her story in particular, it is a great show of human strength, and that's taught me a lot. But, you know, I sort of understood, you know, what sport could do for people and society because I know what it's done for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I lived my whole life in it, and I've been able to do many things and meet many people, and so it's been good, and I just want to pass those experiences on and help teach people that you know, they can do the same thing, and they can get a lot out of sport, and sport is a vehicle to sort of a lot of things.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Well, I'm just going to finish with you by giving you two fan questions that I received. One of them is, are there things as a coach that you hear yourself saying that you wonder how Jonathan Power, the player, would have taken them?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to, I mean, every player you coach and every person is different, and it's how you deliver the message is so important. I mean, how my coach talked to me was, very different, had to be very different than how I talked to some of my athletes, and how I talked to my different athletes is different every time. So there's definitely some things that I said that I wouldn't have taken so well, but I know where they are mentally and what they can take. And
yeah,
that's part of the relationship, right? It's just understanding the back and forth. There's no set way in doing things. It's just coaching is about a relationship and about communicating. So you communicate with everybody a little bit differently depending on their threshold.
Yeah, makes sense.
And mine wasn't necessarily the best, so you had to tiptoe, walk on eggshells around me, and I was very independent, and you had to make it seem like it was my idea if you were coaching me. So, and with other people, you know, they take instruction maybe a little bit better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all the relationship. It's always different.
And, okay, great. I got one more question for you. What would it take to get a major PSA tournament stop in Canada?
I'm working on that right now, and a big part of building the center, I built a whole event center in the back of my squash complex with the four-wall glass court, both singles and doubles, and it's just finishing up now, so the event space, so, yeah. So, as soon as we can get all our ducks in a row, that's what we'll be doing, trying to bring top-level squash back to Canada. It's been tough because there's no Canadian content anymore without me playing, and so the top players in the world will all be foreigners, but I think there's a big demand from the squash community. They want to see what top squash is because it's been a while since it's been here.
Well, thank you for doing everything you can for the sport and for the world. It's incredible.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us, and thank you for tuning in to Keeping Up with the Kick-Ass Canadians.